What would you do if you felt someone brush against you when you knew that no one was there? What divides an area that a ghost can or cannot haunt? Have you ever witnessed something in the dead of night that you can't explain? Today, we test the believability of the Yellow Runner.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
And tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. I wonder how many episodes we've done where, you know, where you say dive into the unknown and the unbelievable, where like the D just does not. When I say and, I don't say and, I say and. I it's very Northeast Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That long A?
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I've never thought about it. Sometimes I notice at the end, I'm like, podcast, as bizarre as you are.
I always think about like when somebody really enunciates the end of a word, it sticks out to me, but it's not because it's wrong or bad. It's just because I don't do it.
It's sharp.
Yeah. Like our friend Parker. Mitten. Button.
Button. Cotton.
Giant eagle.
Fountain.
Hat. We're like, hat. Like, we just, like, mumble shit.
And there's
like,
a hat up on an eagle.
Keep up, big bird. Anyway, I was about to say great Tuesday. That's, you know what, that's the kind of positive energy we need. Great Tuesday.
What a wonderful Tuesday.
It's a wonderful Tuesday. It's basically summer, hopefully.
It's probably not raining.
It probably is raining. Somewhere it's raining. The clouds are crying somewhere. But not here, because it is a new episode of Believing the Bizarre. It is listener submission time. This episode comes to us from G. That is not their name, but it is their alias.
Yeah.
For the remainder of this episode. But before we do that, I actually have...
Sorry, I laughing cut you off.
No, it's okay. What are you laughing?
My homie G.
My homie G. The OG, one might say.
Madam G.
It is Madam G.
Yes.
I have a lead-in from a different source that has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about.
Oh, that's exciting. Were they part of the questions at the beginning or no?
Nope.
Okay, so this is just like this off the cuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something we received, and I'm like, that's good. And it's like, I don't want to wait for the next listener submission collection.
Okay.
And you brought a good point to me. We can do whatever we want.
That's right.
And so I'm gonna flex that opportunity and privilege, and we're going to do it. This is going to be a word-for-word read story from Layla. And then we're going to get into G's story, which is what the actual topic's about, which you'll find out, like, it's called the Yellow Runner. That's only a minor, tiny part of the whole episode, too. But that's okay. We'll get there.
That's really exciting, because really quick. So the runner reminds me of Jeffrey Dahmer's first kill.
Oh.
In Bath, Ohio, where he killed a jogger. Yeah. Or he tried to kill a jogger.
Also, where LeBron James lives, actually.
Still?
And my manager. Well, he has a house there.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's true.
Were they
anything?
Were they in a yellow M&M outfit?
No, no. Okay.
Were they mustard for the Cleveland Guardians?
No, they had 80 shorts on, or 70 shorts, or 60 shorts on. So maybe they were really high.
Were they like those really loud ones, like those cups you get at gas stations? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Let's get into Layla's story. You ready?
Yes.
So this one's gonna be read. Her words. Not mine. Quote, this story is actually about my grandma. She's very young because my parents had me in high school. You know, just so you're not confused. On Halloween night in 1984, around 11 p.m., my grandma was working the closing shift at a cashier at the Golden Chick. She grew up in a Catholic household and was very religious, and she still is. She was a senior in high school at the time and had been invited to a Halloween party just a town over. When she was telling her mom, my great-grandma, about the party and how she couldn't go because she had to work, her grandma was living with them at the time, who would always complain about the voices in her head and the things that they would tell her. Before my grandma left for the party, her grandma turned to her and said, Melinda, be careful tonight. The devil is coming to visit you. My grandma didn't think anything of this, and she laughed because, you know, her grandma was always saying crazy stuff. As she was getting ready to close the restaurant for the night, she heard the front door open and walked to the counter to see who it was. She said that it was a tall man who looked to be in his 30s. He was well-dressed, in a black suit, had black slicked back hair, and very dark brown eyes. He smiled at her and greeted her by her name, and she said she immediately became uncomfortable and had a gut feeling that there was just something off about him. She asked him how he knew her name, but he avoided the question and said, "Why don't you finish closing up and let me give you a ride to your friend's party?" My grandma declined and asked him to leave if he wasn't going to order anything. She said that he immediately had a change in demeanor and said, "When you're done, you're going to let me give you a ride to the party." She called for her manager, and he came to the counter to see what had happened. The man stepped closer and pointed at the cross necklace my grandma was wearing, and he smirked. "How much faith do you have in that cross? Do you really think it can protect you?" She responded, "I believe that with my life." She said then he gave her one last smile and left, shaking his head. As he walked out the door, he paused and turned toward her and said, "Have a good night, Melinda, and tell your grandmother I said hello." When she got home, she told her mom and grandma about everything that happened. They both prayed with her and made sure that she was okay. She told me that she's never seen this man again, but is absolutely convinced that her grandma was right. The devil had come to visit her. Unquote.
Yikes, that's crazy.
Isn't it?
Oh, wow. I wonder what do you think would happen if she got the car?
Bad juju.
I don't know. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, I was like, okay, but it's self-contained, nothing to do with anything else we're going to talk about today. But I'm like, what a good little story.
Yeah, it's a vignette.
It is. It's just like one, you know, now this is serious. Like, this is bad, you know, creepy, probably traumatic for her, really bad, creepy stuff, right?
Yeah.
All I could picture in my head was when the devil has that pawn shop in Rick and Morty.
Oh.
All I could picture. All I could picture. You know
what's funny? All I was thinking about was Riverdale.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I like Riverdale. Yeah. Met Archie.
I could not picture Riverdale.
Mm.
Yeah.
Two different visuals we had going on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
Both very silly though, so.
Thank you, Layla, for that submission.
Great, great little story.
Yes. I hope you enjoyed it. Just kind of warming you up to the paranormal atmosphere. And now let's dive into G's listener submission. All right. So this takes place in Pennsylvania and New York. Pennsylvania now, New York later.
New York, or like?
No, Long Island. Which is, it is, yeah, you're yeah, right. Okay. It is technically New York. And we're going to be referring to G, who decided to keep their name private.
Sure, whatever.
Cool. Yeah, there's definitely privacy areas in this episode, but I'd rather tell a story with aliases and privacy than not tell a story at all.
Yeah, you could have just told us their name was, what was the name we decided forever ago?
Sally or something.
No, it wasn't Sally.
It was an S name.
Yeah, it wasn't Sarah.
Oh, not Cindy. Cindy, Dally, Sarah.
Sophia.
Sophia.
Yeah, you could have said true. Sophia.
This literally could be Sophia. It kind of is Sophia. But we're going to call Sophia G for this episode. There's four parts of this story. They're like, kind of like that, the episode, kind of like that story we just read, like little vignettes.
Okay.
They're all little moments. There's no like long lasting.
That leads to a very haunted life.
Yep. It's just like a little moment here, a little moment there.
Okay. Are they all connected or no?
They're connected because it's G.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So part one, when G was younger, her and her sister shared a room. Like many youngsters, they had bunk beds.
In Pennsylvania.
She was on the bottom bunk and her sister was on the top bunk. Now, I know you know this, but I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. But do you know my fear about bunk beds? Have I talked to you about that? I think it was Patreon.
That they collapse?
No. So my freshman year of college at the University of Akron, my best friend Tyler had the top bunk and I had the bottom bunk.
Mm-hmm.
And when he would wake up in the morning, it was like a jet, like, boom, he just jumped off his bed, like, ah, it's the morning. I'm going to go lift weights. So I'm thinking like, okay, you know how like when you're laying down and you wake up and you try to move and you realize, oh, my arm's asleep. Like it's dead weight. Like I can't move my arm. It's asleep. I always had this fear that if I was like on the top bunk, I would be like, ah, it's the day. I'm going to jump out of this bunk bed and whatever. And then you jump, but then you don't realize your leg's asleep. And so it just like, it gives and then it just like snaps.
Oh God. That'd be terrible.
That does not happen in this story.
Thank God.
And I apologize to anybody who has a top bunk.
I had bunk beds when I went to scout camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bang. I slept on the bottom every year.
Did you?
Yeah. And no, I was terrified to sleep on top.
Why? The leg falling asleep?
I just didn't want to be that high up.
Yeah, that's fair. So again, G is on the bottom bunk and her sister is on the top. And on this particular night, G was playing around on her iPad at her desk, which was right next to the bunk beds. It was around midnight or so, and naturally her sister was trying to sleep on the top bunk. And her sister is the type of person that needs absolute pitch black to sleep. So she told G multiple times to please put out the iPad light. It was bothering her and she could not fall asleep. So G would comply for a few minutes, turn the iPad off, and then wait, and then go back to the iPad and turn it back on. And then her sister would yell at her, and it was just kind of this back and forth until eventually G was just like yelling at her, put the iPad down, go to sleep. And G didn't want her to wake up her parents because she was going to be guaranteed to get in trouble. And this is when they're younger. They're like younger in this story. This isn't quite as recently.
Right.
But she had a plan. And the plan was essentially to wait her sister out. So she put her iPad on her desk. She laid in her bottom bunk and she was like, I'm going to be here for 15 minutes. And once I wait 15 minutes silently in the dark, my sister will be asleep and then I'll be able to creep out, grab my iPad, and do whatever she was doing. I don't know. Like, what was the Angry Birds or the Fruit Ninja?
For sure. Some kind of game.
Temple Run?
Temple Run.
Yeah. I've burned many a battery playing Temple Run. So that's her plan and she's going to stick to it. And she even has her legs hanging off because apparently her bed was really creaky. And she's like, I'm going to even prep my legs. They're hanging off the bed so I can very quickly and swiftly creep out the bed, grab the iPad. I do not know what she's doing on this iPad, but it is like, it is like gold to her tonight.
She's just like Facebook stalking her crush.
You know what? If she was mid texting her crush, I get it.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, so it's about 10 minutes, right? It's dark, pitch black, 10 minutes. Maybe she hears snoring. Maybe she doesn't. She doesn't know. She's like got a few more minutes left. She's got her leg hanging off. It's pitch black, counting down in her head. Gotta get that iPad. But then something unexpected happens. She feels something against her knees, which again are hanging off her bed out of the covers. It was something soft and she's racking her brain. What am I feeling? There's no dog. There's no cat. What am I feeling? What is touching my knee? And then without a shadow of doubt, she identifies exactly what she is feeling. Hair. Human hair. It was human hair brushing up against her exposed knee hanging off the side of her bed. It was almost as if somebody is kneeling over her at her bedside. Unable to process what was happening, G asked her sister, "What are you doing?" And her sister mumbled something in a sleepy manner, but it was unmistakably coming from above her, the bunk above her. It was not her who was next to her by her legs. Whatever it was, not her sister. She felt still as a statue, frozen with fear. Very, very slowly, she slid her leg back under the covers without moving her head or looking to see what was next to her. She said she felt her heart was going to beat out of her chest. Once she was under the covers, she turned to her side and faced the wall that her bed was pressed up against and didn't look away until she fell asleep.
Oh my God.
That is the end of part one.
Oh my God. That's the worst.
That is like,
That's why you keep your feet under the covers.
I know it's so unusual in terms of like if you're watching a horror movie, which you can't get the feeling, tangible sensation when you're watching a movie, right? Like, you see it, you witness it, but it's like, the jump scare is seeing somebody grab a foot, right?
Yeah.
You can't feel it. You need something, you need to see their foot get grabbed or something. Like, slightly, you can't get the sensation of feeling something without seeing what it is watching a movie, right? So it's kind of like, it throws that expectation of like, someone's foot's hanging off, it's going to get grabbed. But imagine being in that situation where your leg's hanging off, it's pitch black, you feel someone's head and hair rubbing up against your knee, but you know it's not your mom, your dad, your sister, no pets.
It's like, not a dog. Oh,
it's just that, because that would be my, like, I would assume, what is my dog doing here, right?
Yeah.
But, like...
It's rough. That is rough. Does this story connect to anything else or not?
No. Nothing else.
All right. It's a cold open.
It's a vignette.
All right.
But I just can't.
Bro.
I would probably have done the same exact thing. I probably would have pulled it back in. I don't know. I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if I would be able to turn and just look away, but I don't know if I would have looked in general.
My go-to was probably Hail Mary, like prayers and crossing and shit like that.
Scary stuff. Anyway, let's move on to part two.
This episode is sponsored by Magic Spoon.
Charlie, when I say think back to being a kid, what does it make you think of?
Saturday mornings watching cartoons with a big bowl of cereal.
Right? Wasn't that the best?
Well, to be honest, I still watch cartoons, but I gave up the cereal. Too much unnecessary sugars, you know?
What if there was a tasty cereal that was good for you and legitimately a healthy breakfast option?
What?
I'm talking about Magic Spoon.
Oh yeah, Magic Spoon, the ultimate childlike cereal.
But for adults.
We recommend checking out the variety pack that comes with four flavors. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter.
This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in only 140 calories per serving.
When I saw they had a peanut butter option, I immediately called dibs.
My favorite is cocoa, which you'll actually see us on social media eating, and honestly, I was floored by how good it actually is.
Exactly. It doesn't taste like cardboard like some of the other healthy cereals. You can't even tell. It's got 0 grams of sugar.
Listen, if you want to reclaim your childhood and enjoy a tasty, refreshing bowl of cereal with ice cold milk, go to magicspoon.com/bizarre and grab a variety pack today.
And be sure to use our promo code bizarre at checkout to save $5 off your order.
Remember, get your delicious and healthy bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/bizarre and use the promo code bizarre to save $5 off your order. So the next experience happened more recently in summer of 2020. We've all been there.
Okay.
So with it being summertime and even more so unusually COVID summer.
Yeah.
Her entire sleeping schedule and activity schedule was just all out of whack. Like 3 a.m. was just like, it's part of the day, right?
Okay.
Like midnight, it might as well be like 2 p.m.
All right.
For
cool. G. Gotcha.
Well, let me give you her routine was that she would like shower at 3 a.m. She would go to bed at 5 a.m. and then she would wake up at 2 p.m.
Jesus.
That brings me back so hard to, like, I don't know her age exactly, but I'm putting her between 15 and 19.
Dude, when I was in middle school, that's what I did.
It's, yeah, I might be going old, but I don't know. But it brings me back to, like, to the 2009, 2010, where it's, like, waking up at 1 p.m. was early or noon was early. And it's just, like, you could be up at 1 a.m. and there was nothing better for you to do, like zero responsibilities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. And if you're there right now, if you're young listening to this, enjoy it. Now, I'm yes, not making yes. it seem like doom and gloom. There's gonna be a lot of opportunities when you're older that you can jump on that you can't currently really advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But so things get good later too, but just enjoy the freedom you have now.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
I'm off my soapbox now. But anyway, okay, back to G. I don't do that interlude every vignette. Don't worry. I think we're done. So it's 3 a.m., a.k.a.
Oh, the witching hour.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And she's doing her pre-sleep ritual of taking a shower.
Sure.
But on this night, something was off. As she got under the warm water, she felt a couple of loud thumps from outside the bathroom door. And initially, G didn't think anything of it. You know, so she finished her shower, she left the bathroom, and she started walking through the living room. But then she heard the thumps again. And kind of like a dull plucking sound. Now this startled her because there was no barrier between her and where she was hearing these noises coming from around the living room, which she has a guitar in there.
Okay.
So she thought maybe somebody was playing her guitar and the thumping could have been like smacking the sound hole, even though it felt a little bit more distant, a little bit more unusual. But then it just started dawning on her, like lights are off.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
No one else in the house is up. Why am I hearing these plucking and this thumping? Right? So she didn't stick around long to figure it out, and she ran to her bedroom and she shut the door quickly. She noted that ever since that moment and that night, that just being in the living room at night has really kind of creeped her out and give her a very eerie feeling. Okay. She said that her mother set up two mirrors that face each other.
Oh my God.
Which she's like, she thinks is bad juju, but she's like, I don't want to knock my mom's stylistic decisions.
I think you made a portal, but if you like it, that's good.
Yeah. But she said that, you know, when she's in the living room at night, when it's dark, it just feels very menacing. And she said sometimes she'll just stand there in the living room and look off into the darkness and almost will something to happen. Just to see, right? Just what? Like, just to see if something's there. It's like testing the boundaries, right? Oh my God. Like throwing the rock in the water, what? Making what? The ripple.
What the fuck?
But she always loses her nerve and she leaves and she runs back to her room before anything happens. If anything were to happen. So nothing has come of that.
Difference between me and Jay is I would never have the house lights off.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I would, every room would have a nightlight.
Yeah.
It would just be one ball of light. But then you see
shadow figures and shit.
Speaking of.
No.
On a side note.
No.
Sometimes when G is watching TV in the living room at night, where you only have that TV illuminating, she says in the corner of her eyes, in the hallway, she can sometimes see what looks like little tiny shadows moving.
How tiny?
She didn't say. But she's never seen it. She's never seen anything. Like when she looks, spoiler alert, she's never seen a ghost. This is all peripheral sound feel. It's like every sensation, maybe not taste. It's like every sensation besides sight. Like she's heard them. She's felt them. No taste, no sound. What is the fifth one?
Touch.
Smell. She might have smelled a ghost.
That's actually really like a perfume or cigar is super like popular, not popular, but common.
Be like, what's this axe wearing ghost over here? Is he trying to hit on me?
One day in the future.
All right, moving on to part three. Now, this part actually doesn't take place at G's house. It's her neighbor's house. But the relevance, which is actually something I want to talk, this is going to be a spoiler. This is going to be a major discussion point because I'm curious about your thoughts on this.
Okay.
We'll get back to it, though, in the discussion. But this is relevant not only because, well, it's for multiple reasons. One, because it's G's neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the houses are pushed up together, like almost touching, like not a duplex. They're not connected, but they're so close. They're almost close. Touching. Yeah. So kind of keep that in the back of your mind. We'll come back to that. But anyway, one day G heard her mother and the neighbor talking. So at first it was just normal chit chat, but then the neighbor mentioned that they thought their house was haunted. Bum, bum, bum. Naturally, due to G's own experiences, aka everything we've discussed already, and the proximity of their homes, this caught G's attention. Apparently, at night, G's neighbor can hear pill bottles rattling behind closed bathroom cupboards and hear dresser knobs turning. Now, G admits that this could potentially be explained as just a rodent problem, potentially mice sneaking into the cupboards, taking them pills.
Shaking the pills.
Pills here.
Got any opioids? Those are really popular here.
Because apparently there was like a mouse problem in the area. But this next part is incredibly hard to explain away.
Okay.
Her neighbor also said that when she's sitting on the couch, she can feel a presence sitting next to her.
She's sitting on the couch. There's a ghost there.
You're sitting on me. But like literally feels the weight shift on the couch and can visibly see a sinking indent where someone else is sitting.
That's bad.
And she would hear her younger daughter playing in her room and talking to other people that are not there.
How young?
Didn't say.
Imaginary friend.
Which are ghosts, unless they're not Toby and Green.
Not necessarily.
I think Toby, your green imaginary friend, was a frog, Loveland Frogman.
No, he was definitely a ripoff Skeeter.
From Doug?
Yes.
Okay. All right, this brings us to our fourth part, and this is the one that is in New York. It is in Long Island.
Okay.
And it is the basis of the name of this episode.
All right.
Fun fact, behind the scenes fact, until I got to part four, this episode was going to have a very, very generic ass name. It was originally going to be, I think it was like A Haunting in Pennsylvania. And I literally hated my life. I wanted to call in sick to recording
and to just come up with another name.
Throw away my creative writing degree and just bury my head in sand like those birds.
Ostriches.
Those things.
A haunting in Pennsylvania. I kind of like the simplicity.
Yeah, well, the cool thing is that we could literally do a haunting in every state.
Yeah, did we talk about that before? We did.
Because sometimes somebody's going to send us a story and there's not going to be... Like, for instance, so far in this story, this is like fourth wall breaking. So far in this story, the thing that jumps out to me the most is the hair.
Yeah, for sure.
But to like think of a title that encapsulates the whole episode, the hair that touched the knee.
The knee. Hairy ghost.
The long-haired ghost. And the knee.
No, but really, that story is very creepy.
I love that story. That's one of my favorite listener submission stories we've told so far because it's a detail that isn't like basic horror movie cliche.
Yeah.
It has the setup and then it just completely like twists what you expect. Like feeling someone's hair on your knee that isn't there. What? But anyway, then we got to this part and I was like, oh, I have a name for this episode.
Thank God.
Thank God. So let's go. So again, this takes place at G's aunt house in Long Island, New York. And backstory into what this kind of is going to dive into a little bit. It's near the Montauk Air Force Base.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm only familiar with Montauk because of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? You know what it's called?
I don't know what it's called.
Jim Carrey with the girl, the orange hair. Spotless Sunshine.
Oh, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes.
Kirsten Dunst.
What?
Isn't Kirsten Dunst in that movie?
Is she?
She is. She's not the main girl, but she's in that movie.
All right, yeah.
But anyway, so apparently there's a lot of conspiracies about the Montauk base because it's like the Montauk experiments.
Okay.
G's saying that this might have been something that Stranger Things was based off of to a certain small extent. Because there are... It's not like this isn't like factual. Like this isn't I mean, some people think it's factual. There's not like, it's not the Manhattan Project. It's not like that where it's like history. It's conspiracy for now.
Okay.
But a lot of people claim it like that around the airbase, they were doing testing on like telepathy and time travel.
Oh, like MKUltra shit. Well, that actually happened though.
Not mind control. Isn't that kind of MKUltra is more like mind control, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is more like time travel-y. Telepathy.
Okay.
It's a little different. I know what you're talking about. It's a little bit different.
Okay.
Like, I'm thinking like portal stuff.
Oh. Like a game?
No, like opening a portal.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I'm leaving this vague because I think that this would be a really good future episode.
Vague is totally cool.
I don't want it to be shoehorned in this. I'd rather it would get it. I actually wrote it down on my list because I'm like, this actually be really good. Kind of like CERN, which I talked about. In episode 4, Skyquakes, and I still haven't touched.
Sir.
Or like the Hat Man, which one day.
One day. People ask about that Hat Man.
Well, he's looking for you. But anyway, that's kind of the background into something that we'll talk about here and something she brought up herself. So G is hanging out at her aunt's house. And you know, if it's a story from G at this point, it cannot be a normal time of the day.
Right.
So it's midnight.
Of course.
So she's wide awake. This is basically 3 hours before bedtime. Might as well be noon. And you know, it's midnight. She's not tired. She doesn't know what to do. She has this energy to burn. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go for a run outside.
At midnight in Long Island?
At midnight in Long Island. But this is like it must be like a rural area of Long Island. She said that there was not a house nearby her aunt's house. Like, it was kind of like middle of nowhere.
Okay.
She said she only went running for about 20 minutes, though, which she said only 20 minutes. Like, that is my full running.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I think that's plenty of running time. But she said she was getting freaked out because there were very few streetlights on the roads.
Yeah.
And it was just really, like, super, super dark outside. So she cut it short. She came back. She showered. And then she decided she wanted to hang out in the living room for a little bit, watching TV until she felt tired enough to go to sleep. After about 10 minutes of watching TV, her aunt's motion light went off and completely illuminated the front yard and the street. And G looked and something caught her eye. There, running across the road, was this yellowish humanoid-like entity just sprinting across the street. She said it was about maybe 6 feet tall, was a very bulky build, and had no clothes on. It was yellow, no clothes on, but it was just moving so incredibly fast that it was hard to discern any details. And she already said there's not that many nearby people. It's the people, not to generalize, but the people that lived nearby were very old. Mm-hmm. So not the type of person that would be sprinting at that speed. But also it's just the characteristics and the detail. I even emailed her back. I'm like, are there any more details you can give me about this? Mm-hmm. But it's just like so fast, so unusual. Couldn't really grab much from it other than it was like a bulky, tall, yellow thing sprinting. And she never got any type of resolution on what it was, but she gave me two theories on what it could potentially have been. One, she actually said it could have been a skinwalker. She said based on where she was at, there was like a Native American reservation nearby, and she said it used to be Native American territory. She didn't want to give me the name because she said that would expose one where her aunt lives, and it was into the privacy thing. I'm like, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But that was something that came to her mind. Okay. But this is something interesting to me, and I don't know what G looks like. I don't know what G looks like. But based on the description, this one is hard to swallow. But she said because of knowing about this experiment and everything that was happening really close nearby, she said that she thought maybe it could have been a different version of herself from the past because she literally had just gone running.
I was just thinking, I wonder if it's like time travel or almost like a reverberation.
Yeah, yes. So that is G's listener submission. I have a lot of questions for you over in the discussion. Are you ready to meet me there? All right, before we get to the discussion, the long-awaited, much-anticipated discussion, it is time to thank our patrons. You hear the music. First of all, thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you to everybody listening. But this moment is dedicated to our newest patrons, who at the moment of this recording are Nane, Maddie, Miranda, Haley, Amanda, Lacey, Bethany, Carly, and Ariel. Not a single dude. But that's completely fine. That is completely fine. We appreciate all of you. We are so thankful that you're interested enough in Believe Mazar to help support the podcast. And Charlie, tell them what kind of content they can expect if they also join our Patreon.
Well, if you join our Patreon, you can expect things like Google Hangouts with us, director's cuts where we talk about old episodes, like while the old episode's going. And we have things like quizzes, which I love. And we have Do You Believe the Bazaar with producer Ben.
Producer Ben. Shout out producer Ben.
And we have a whole lot of content, really.
Da-na-na, da-na-na. Update. We got two new things coming your way. One is a little convoluted. The other one is not. The very easy one for our middle tier and up is called Bizarre News, where we are going to start discussing strange, weird, just off the wall news stories that are relevant and just crazy. So send them our way if you have any, if you're involved in the Patreon. Otherwise, I love looking them up because it is just absolute crazy. Other thing is we are, as I think we were told with our theater program, sunsetting. We're sunsetting the biannual merch just because with where we're at, it wasn't feasible. That was when every $10 tier Patreon was getting a shirt or an item every January and July. And instead, we want to do a monthly giveaway where every single month, if you are in our dedicated tier, you are automatically entered into a giveaway, which has three winners, a main prize winner, and two smaller prize winners. Now, we're running into a little bit of an issue with Patreon, where they prefer not having giveaways on their platform.
Yeah.
But we're working around that.
We're in conversation.
We think we're going to get an exclusive Discord. So there'll be more information about that. If you have any questions, hit us up. But regardless, we are going to do that. It is going to happen. There's so much bonus content on Patreon. If you love the podcast and you're all caught up and you're looking for more, there's no better place to go than our Patreon. And it means a lot to Charlie and I, and support means a lot. But I'm ready to get back to the discussion. All right. So we had four little vignettes.
Yes.
With G, some in Pennsylvania, a little bit in New York. But I want to go back to this because I pointed this out earlier. It's callback time. I mentioned the house and how the neighbor was talking about how her house was haunted and how close both homes were in proximity without actually touching, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's always the chance, kind of like when you were talking about the Thornton Heath houses, and I thought that they were connected.
Yeah.
Incorrectly on my part. I thought it was like the same ghost was there, even if it was like a duplex and they were connected. Like two houses connected, same ghost. Now, there's a chance, if true, that it's two completely different ghosts or spirits
haunting them. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
But my opening question, my second one, where it was like, what divides where a ghost can and can't haunt?
Yeah.
If they were close enough in proximity, do you think that the same thing that G was experiencing in her home could be the same thing that their neighbor's experiencing?
It's weird. I don't know. Maybe? Because, okay. So typically you think about haunting, it's like contained in a house. All parts of the house. Throughout the walls and all the doors. But it's typically in one house.
Right.
Now, my question is, why do you think it would travel between the two families?
I don't know. It's tough without context. Sure. We don't know if any traumatic events have happened. We don't know how close these neighbors are. Obviously, close enough to have chit-chat. Close enough for a neighbor to tell the other neighbor their house is haunted.
Yeah.
Like, you're not close enough to Clark.
No.
To go over there and tell him, hey, you know, there's a demon cat in my house.
He'd be like, oh, it's just one of my strays.
I talked to Isaac from Hidden in the Shadows, and he sucked out a ghost from my house, Clark. How was your weekend? You're not there yet. Maybe you never will be.
I'm going to go on a limb and say I don't think so.
So I think it's fair to say that there's at least somewhat of a relationship here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's some things. Yeah.
So there's a lot of context we don't know. But okay, think about like an apartment complex, like a huge or a hotel. Like can a ghost, like we've talked about like Ohio University and Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the fifth floor is this.
Uh-huh.
Or like the girls' basketball floor or whatever that was, you know, it's like this in Ohio University.
Yeah.
So it's like, it almost seems like sometimes there are sections.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes it's like, okay, the whole thing is haunted. Like, is a whole apartment building haunted? Or like, we haven't done, well, it's not really the Cecil Hotel. But like,
right.
You think about a hotel where it's like a room being haunted versus a whole apartment being haunted.
Yeah, I was just thinking like, there's like lots of stories of like just rooms being haunted in hotels. Like, don't go in 3044.
1408. It's like tough to think about like what is like, because we create barriers with walls.
Yeah.
But why does that mean it should have any bearing on a ghost? And maybe it doesn't. So that's why I'm thinking it's like, if it was a duplex, it would suck if it was a duplex and like only one half is haunted. It's like,
yeah.
Their rent has to be a little, it's more expensive. It's like paying for a pet.
Yeah.
It's like you got a ghost, so it's extra 25 a month.
Yeah. You got to go up to make sure that they don't think anything's wrong.
So if you had to guess, do you think it would be the same thing haunting both? Because if they're that close, could it just cross over?
Okay. So I would say strong possibility, because it has the same tendencies. And by that, I mean, it plays with things that might be on hand. Like, the neighbor's house might have pill bottles on hand. It might have a couch on hand, sit down. In G's house, it has a guitar on hand. And that's the thing that it plays with there. And also, G's mother has made a portal in her home.
With the mirrors.
Yes.
Yeah, turn those things to the side. What are you trying to look at?
Infinity.
Who is that helping?
God. Yeah. She has unintentionally made a dimensional rift.
She is the Montauk Project. She created it.
Surprise.
It's me. Was it 11?
Yes.
Yeah, 11. Okay. So that's, you know, there's no bottom line to that.
Right. I can't say yeah for sure, but maybe. Strong maybe.
Doesn't seem like a very violent spirit.
No, but it's creepy as shit.
There's nothing really new to add, and we already kind of talked about it a little bit, but I still want to talk about it for a second. I just love the imagery and the idea. It's terrifying. Like, I would never want this to happen, but this hair touching the knee, like, I can't get past that.
As soon as you said imagery, I had the same thought.
It is, like, when you did the Thornton Heath, nothing stuck out to me more than the handprint.
Right.
And
now we're saying that name right, actually. The Thornton Heath.
I know.
The whole episode we did not.
I think we said Thornton Hill.
We said Thornton Hill at the beginning.
It's all
Thornton
good.
Heath.
It's all good. We got it. We got it. You know, sometimes you need to mess up to learn it for real.
Yeah. No, I know it forever.
Forever. But it, like, that is the imagery. Even though it's called the Yellow Runner, to me, the imagery is that. And it's like one of my favorite details, because it's just so unique and terrifying. I just like the horror lover in me, and I just love it so much. I can't explain why. It's just so scary and original and fresh.
Yeah.
Because there's so much cliche.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cliche for a reason, because people truly deal with these things in real life. Now, yeah. Hollywood turned it into, you know, money. But I just needed to give that shine one more time. But let's get down to, I think, the biggest question. What did she see running?
Okay.
Give me your expertise, Charlie.
I got expertise. I got two ideas. One, I think it could have been some kind of like time loop. Like maybe not necessarily her. Maybe it was another, just a loop of a man running, or a loop of a person running.
What if it was like the embodiment of her energy? Like it was like the 6 foot tall amount of energy that she had to spare. You know what I mean? Like she's like, it's midnight and I have all this energy. Let's go.
Oh.
I'm just saying, I don't think she's a 6 foot tall, bulky person. No.
It's a very Naruto guy, Mike guy thing to say. The energy of youth is manifesting. I don't know if I buy that. I think I like the idea that Montauk is playing with some kind of time thing, or it's some kind of mimic monster.
A mimic monster. Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
It was mimicking what it saw, which was her running. Oh. Oh, my computer just made a noise. Dude, we both got really scared. Dude, why did a mimic monster? It made me think of the goat man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mimic monster. So, like, it maybe saw her running through the Long Island, and then she luckily gets back without even knowing she's in danger. And then this thing just bolts through her yard and goes out the front.
Oh. I don't, that's when entities start mimicking, whether it's voice, appearance, behavior.
Maybe it's not even good at it, because it doesn't sound like it would look like her.
That's like, I know like we joke a lot about not deer.
Yeah. Something that's just wrong.
Yeah. Something is just trying, but not doing it well. Like it's like there's two ends of the spectrum. When it does it well and it blends in, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But when it is trying to and can't,
yeah.
It's just as terrifying. It's offsetting. It's like the uncanny valley.
Where's the happy medium there? Just be yourself.
Be yourself, entity, yellow thing.
But I don't know what it would be, what it could be. That is a mimic monster.
Okay, rationally, outside of paranormal, what do you think that could even be?
What do you mean?
Like if it wasn't anything, if it was just supernatural. Just
anything supernatural?
Yeah, like a bear. A naked, shaved bear. Somebody doing the get out challenge.
Yeah, right? I don't know. A raver? Who got out of a rave covered in paint?
Yeah, like fast, naked, yellow.
Yellow. The whole thing's covered in yellow.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know.
Alien?
Logically, what is that?
That's not paranormal. That's, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either, unless G's tripping, which I'm taking her for a word here. I don't know, but I agree with you. I think you said this off the air. You said you don't think it was a skinwalker.
I don't think it's a skinwalker. That's just me taking my experience and applying it. I don't think it's that, but I don't know. I have no way of knowing.
The tough thing is that all we can go off of is the description. And based on the description we got, it doesn't sound like one. Doesn't really mean it's not. But nothing seemed to, like, okay. I don't want to say nothing seemed irregular about it. A lot seemed irregular about it, but not in the way that you would expect. Like, I don't know what it was turning into, or maybe it had just turned out of something.
That could be. I have a thought, though.
Yes.
What if it's elemental?
You're on that elemental right now.
Well, I just thought of that. What if it's water?
Ooh.
Element of water that is taking on the area. I don't know how polluted the area is. I don't know. Well, seriously.
No, I don't know either.
Like, what if it's, like, polluted and that's how it feels?
I'm running here.
Yeah.
Why do you say water?
Water because I feel like water would turn that kind of yellowy kind of color if polluted.
I don't know. That's... There are so many possibilities. My favorite is the mimic monster. Mimic
monster.
That's like, ugh, I just don't like that at all.
I don't either, but I think that makes sense too.
I don't know. Anyway, so this is going to be a full scope, kind of like last episode with the Thornton Heath. Take all the vignettes, not Layla's. That was a separate thing. Enjoy that for what it was, a fun, creepy devil story, potentially. So looking at the four vignettes.
Yeah.
The hair touching the knee, the thumping sound, the neighbor's haunted house, and now seeing this creature, which obviously the creature is an outlier. this entity.
Yeah.
But it's still G. It's still her experiences. Where do you rate her encounters, experiences, paranormal happenings from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable?
I believe everything's happened to her. I almost wish there was a video, like a outside video of this thing running.
Like the Fresno Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
She probably has a camera.
I don't know. Maybe. But
not G. I mean her aunt's house.
Probably. I wonder if they got it. But there's a
What if they were keeping it from her because it's so scary?
What if it comes to their house every night?
Like, you can do whatever you want. You can play video games. You can eat candy. Just
don't go out for a run.
Don't go out running after midnight.
That's exactly what
she said. Stupid child.
But yeah, I believe it. I'm going to go believable. There's witnesses who also have seen things. The neighbor's house. I don't know if her family mentioned they saw or heard things, but she's up really late anyway. And it's the witching hour.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense.
I think the only reason I would go anything less than believable is assuming that it's all happening super late and there's a chance she's in a drowsy state, but she literally keeps reiterating she's not tired.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to bed. I want to play my iPad. I'm not tired. I'm going to take a shower. I'm not tired. I want to go for a run. So it's not like she's half asleep. She is forced to stay up. Like,
right.
I'm doing homework or I'm doing something I don't want to be doing and I'm tired. I'd rather be sleeping. So she seems to be in a very conscious state for
all of this. Not delirious at all.
And they're not like, okay, seeing a yellow thing entity running is extreme. But even in itself, every experience and moment she has, nothing's larger than life. It's not like this grand, made up, you know, huge story arc. They all feel very genuine, natural, and unique moments.
It's like subtle too.
Yeah, like the details don't scream to me like she's making this up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I'm right with you. I think this is believable. And not just the making it up factor of making it less than believable. But it's really hard to discount.
Yeah.
Like if she had a dog, maybe it was your dog.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody plays guitar late at night in her house, besides your sister, which she doesn't, I don't think she plays guitar. You know, it's like if there's neighbors that were yellow morph bodysuits. But I believe it. I believe the details and it seems really hard to discredit.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you. So that is our episode on the Yellow Runner and more importantly, the hairy ghost head on the knee.
Subtitle.
Thank you, G, for submitting your story and giving me so many details day of recording. Thank you, Layla, for your devil story. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode, last week's episode.
We couldn't do it without you guys.
We could. We've done an episode without you guys.
We could.
Did I say episode or podcast?
Episode.
I meant podcast. We've done a podcast without y'all before.
Yeah.
But it's so much better when you're here.
It's a lot more satisfying.
It is, and it makes it more worthwhile. So seriously, thank you, everybody, for listening and hanging out with us for getting close to 2 years now.
Yikes.
Getting close to 2 years. July 2022 will be 2 years. And, you know, I'm glad we made it this long because I don't want to be just another COVID podcast.
Right, a blip in the matrix.
Are you guys just a COVID podcast? You had all that free time, so you thought, why not start podcasts?
Yeah.
Because you know what everyone has?
Podcast?
Podcast.
But we are still here.
That is right, and we are glad you're here with us. And if you're glad you're here and you want to let us know that you're glad you're here, leave us a review. Either on Apple, you can leave 5-star. You know, put some words and make senses and tell us how you feel, good or bad, hopefully good. Or if you just want to simply click a little button, head over to Spotify, leave us that stars. I don't think that's what I'm trying to say. We're getting close to 1,000.
We are.
Spotify.
Yeah, we're getting really close to 1,000.
You're definitely taking ownership of that. You always give me those updates, which I appreciate.
It's crazy how fast it grows.
I'm excited because when this podcast started, the only person that knows this is probably producer Ben. Charlie, you were not a statistical man.
No.
This podcast has changed you.
Yeah.
I don't remember this. You used to text me, how many downloads did we get today? And now this dude's sending me screenshots and like, hey, this happened. Hey, this happened. Hey, this happened. Dude, I feel you got like boss pants on.
When it's really exciting to see the growth.
Absolutely.
And if you want to talk to us about growth, or don't talk to us about growth, talk to us about the episodes. You want to talk to us about the episodes and you're like, well, how can I do that? Join us on Discord. There's other people who listen, about 100 or so, and us. And we are there, and we are there on random times. And
what do you catch us? What are you again on Discord?
CLEO14.
That's right.
What are you?
Lamad Silentist, I think 28.
Probably.
It might be 20.
I would put money on that.
Still Ferret Allen. Cavs did not make it as far as I wanted.
I think I'm Bender right now. I change.
But anyway, thank you everybody so much for listening. I hope you have a great week, a great Tuesday. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.